Brother Juan, I thought that was outstanding because of the simplicity, as Brother Ron was alluding to. You know, sometimes it's easy to forget about, you know, Paul's writings there in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, where he says, don't corrupt that simplicity in Christ Jesus. And I think you've really represented the gospel well in the way you've kept it very plain, very simple, but very much to the point of truth. And thank you for that lesson and that study.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you, Juan, very much. Now, I'm going to show my own ignorance here, and that's what this is for, too, as much as anything. But I'd kind of like to hear, and maybe this is not the time for you to do this, a little bit more information on the relationship between circumcision and baptism. It just seems to me like the Israelites were born into a covenant relationship with God by their birth. That's why we're told we have to be born again in baptism. Anyway, I'd just like to hear more about that.
Well, the only scripture that I refer to is there in Galatians, you know, where it talks about circumcision, and then right in the middle, it talks about baptism, you know, and that's the way that we are born into the family of God, by being baptized, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you know. So the Jews, they were Jews when they were born. I mean, they were of the people of God, but they have to be circumcised at the 8th day. And the fact that somebody else who were not a Jew wants to become a Jew and practice or proselyte, he had to be circumcised, you know. So that's what I see the connection. That's my understanding. I may be wrong, you know, and there's many brethren here, but that's my understanding. And especially in Galatians, because talks about circumcision, and then right in the middle talks about baptism, and then circumcision is of the heart, you know, and that's what we do in baptism. It's not something physically where we see the sins swimming in the water, you know. It's just it's inwardly, and that's the same way with see the connection there.
Thank you, Brother Juan, for your presentation. You know, the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 3 through 12, explains this or gives an illustration of this on the marriage discussion. When the Pharisees tried to test or trick Jesus, Jesus let them know when they asked him about being able to put away their wife for every cause. He said, from the beginning, patriarchal law, it was not so. Well, they bounced back with, well, why did Moses allow this? And Jesus, of course, said, because of the hardness of your hearts, he allowed it. And then he said, but I say unto you, in verse 19:9, which is the Christian age. So therefore, Matthew 19 is a really good illustration of what you have just taught in verses 3 through 12. And at the same time, you have an opportunity to teach the truth pertaining to the exception versus the no exception controversy within our brotherhood. You know, there's another area of interest, and this is not something that necessarily would fit your presentation, but even under the Christian dispensation, there are some divisions within that own time period. For an example, there were times that, you know, John's baptism faded out, and the spiritual gifts eventually were done away with, and things of that nature. So as you march your way through, the Lord's will was that things were there for a period, and then they left. Now, sometimes people have question whether we have, like in the marriage, did Jesus have a right to teach his law under the law of Moses, even though it was going to become binding later? And the fact is, when Jesus taught his law under the Mosaic law, he did not bind his law at that time. It became binding, as you said, when he died at Calvary. Hebrew 9, a testament is of force after men are dead, and therefore he had to make his law while he was alive, and then when he died at Calvary, his law became effective, the old law faded away.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And that's very, very clear, because that's what they argue, that Christ could not say anything because he was living under the law of Moses. And whatever he taught, contrary to the law of Moses, he would be sinning. And that's what they said, that he was just explaining Matthew 19, the law of Moses. But it's not true. You know, he was even making a contrast between the two. Because it was said, but I say. It was said, but I say. So he was making a contrast. And also it says that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Which kingdom? Was not yet established. So was not preaching the kingdom of Israel. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which was become in force after he died on the cross. But like you very well pointed, when do we write the testament? It's when we are alive. But it doesn't come into effect until we die. I mean, we write the testament, our testament, when we are alive, but it doesn't become effective until we die. And that's the same thing with Jesus. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Excellent job, Juan. And I appreciate it very much, the fact that you use so many passages of Scripture. I think that that is the example of the apostles preaching, and that's the way we should do today as well. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
This passage in Colossians 2 is sometimes erroneously used to talk about infant baptism, because circumcision was the eighth day, and if we're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, they're trying to equate baptism with physical circumcision. However, you did have the passage up there that's the answer, and that's in, or at least one answer, in Romans 2 and 29, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart. The Old Testament talked about not only the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. And that's what Colossians 2 and 12 is talking about, and talking about baptism as circumcision. But anyway, I thought you did a great job.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Questions? Juan, would you like closing comments you'd like to make?
Just thank you for your attention and the opportunity to present the lesson. And I was going to say something, you know, about the lesson last night. I'm still impacted by the lesson last night. And I think something that we maybe overlook, we talk about, and since we are preachers, sometimes, many times, we as preachers neglect our own family. You know, we try to have a lot of home studies and travel all over the world to save souls. But in many cases, and I am guilty of that many times, that we neglect our family. And that's something that I was going to mention last night, but just kept in my mind during the night. And I want to say at the beginning, but well, I got the time now. So I think that we need to be careful, you know, because there's a passage where it says that they gave us to keep the vineyard, and the vineyard that was ours, we didn't keep it. And so we need to be careful with that. Thank you.
I saw you get caught in that, Richard. I'm moving aside.
Yes.
Yeah. A man shouldn't be afraid of too much light, but on this time I am a little bit. Yeah. We want to express our gratitude to Brother Juan. You know, in talking about Bible dispensations, that word dispensation, that word relates not so much to time as to what was done. It was God's stewardship of the redemptive plan. And we see the beauty in understanding the fundamental, quote-unquote, dispensations in the marvelous wisdom and power of God, as he so aptly has showed us by the scriptures. How God in his redemptive plan moved from the family to the nation to the universal. And as the Lord's church, we are there in that part. And as God's people, in the religious world today, one of the difficulties we have is they do not have a fundamental concept of these three basic dispensations. All kinds of false ideas are bred. As our good brother mentioned, the seven dispensations. Well, if you want to follow that, I don't know when you'll ever get back. But let's recognize here in these dispensations God's hand of stewardship. The Bible is a book of continuity, and the Bible is a book of contrast. And it's not for me to say much, but our brother has showed us here, on the one hand, the fullness of the continuity, and on the other hand, the necessity of seeing the contrast. And when you put those two together, then you start to really have the Bible story. I don't want to say too much. Of course, you know that's my problem anyhow. But years and years ago, there wasn't many a gospel meeting when there wasn't a lesson taught on the Bible dispensations. Brother Juan said to me here at the beginning, he said, well, this is kind of a simple Bible lesson. I just ask him, what converted the world? The simple, basic Bible message. The continuity and contrast that he emphasized will bring to us a greater grasp of the redemptive plan. And we will then be a people who are motivated to take the name of Jesus Christ to the four corners of this earth, which isn't that interesting because we take it to the four corners and it's a circle. But I leave that alone. But anyway, and there are many men in this assembly today who are taking the gospel many places. And we're so thankful to see that growing up in the church. Now, only bear with me just for one more little excerpt. When he brought up Matthew 17, I love it. I love Matthew 17. And you've got the parallel accounts. And if you want to see the eyes of people light up in Africa, take Matthew 17 and show what? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Being the brilliant man that I am, many, many years ago, when I read Matthew 17, I thought, man, you talk about an explicit example of the law of Moses and its authority passing to Jesus Christ. You can't beat this one. But I had one problem. And the problem was, if I give this and point that out, people are going to say you have two laws in effect at the same time, which as Juan pointed out to us, there has to be the death of the testator. And so I had the argumentation, but I saw the problem I was going to get into, and so I couldn't use it. And as I pointed out my brilliance, it only took me about 8 years to finally get the answer. It was just down in verse 9. Tell no man till the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Matthew 17. Thank you, brother. You've done more for this assembly with this teaching this morning than you think you have.